All right. Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to be here this morning again. And we're going to get into our next installment in our Sunday AM series known as What is Your Faith? Our sermon series for that this morning. So we'll be getting into the book of Hebrews here in just a few moments, not quite yet. But I want to open up with this thought today as we begin to look at the life of another character in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to imagine with me this morning living 40 years of your life. Imagine living 40 years as you were someone else, as if you were someone that you were not even knowing it, but spending 40 years thinking you were someone of a different person, and then spending another 40 years finding out, or thinking, if you will, that you were nothing. Finally, to find out that going from 40 years of thinking you were someone else to 40 years thinking that you were nothing. Imagine this morning being the one that was chosen of God to perform one of the most miraculous events in the history of mankind. All to the saving and blessing, the blessings of an entire nation that would be brought forth by what God would give you. What would you think of that? What would it take this morning for you to spend 40 years thinking you were someone, finding out that you're not, then 40 years thinking that you're nothing, all to find out again now that you're chosen of God to perform one of the greatest works that will ever be performed? What would it take to do that? Beloved, it takes faith to do something like that. A delivering faith in God in a God that you've read about, and a God that you've heard about, and a God that that you've never seen, heard audibly, or seen physically, but it will take faith to perform a work like that today. And so without further ado, I want us to look this morning at Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn there this morning with me, if you're not already there, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, looking at verses 23 through 29. And I want to present to you this morning Moses' delivering faith. Moses' delivering faith. Verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned." Father, we pray a special blessing this morning upon the reading of thy word. We ask that you would be with us today. Father, I do want to thank you personally this morning for every soul that is in attendance here. I pray that you richly, wonderfully bless them for their commitment, bless them for their dedication, bless them for their faithfulness. So Lord, we ask you now to go with us this morning. Take thy word, write it upon the table of our hearts, and help us draw closer unto thee. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we do ask these things today. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Now the name Moses means drawn out. The reason his name means drawn out is because he was drawn out from the river. Moses is known as the famous deliverer, the famous lawgiver, the prophet of Israel. He is the picture of Jesus Christ in many ways in our world. Jesus Christ is seen in many aspects in Moses' life and his ministry. Moses, if you look at Moses' life compared to Jesus Christ, Moses was initially rejected by those that he came. Initially rejected by his own people, just like Jesus Christ was. Moses took on a Gentile bride, just as the church becomes the bride of the living Christ. Moses returned and delivered Egypt from the world, or delivered Israel from Egypt, which is a picture of the world, just like Jesus Christ will do with his bride one day, and we believe one day soon. the mighty comparison of these two is found, if you look in Hebrews in chapter 3 with me, it is found over here in this third chapter. Read verses 1 through 9 with me. Hebrews in chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Beloved, we today can look the life of Moses. We can look at what he experienced. We can look at the things that he went through. We can look at the things that are surmised simply in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, knowing the backstory, knowing the backdrop, knowing what he went through, knowing that Pharaoh heard of the prophecy of a delivering child of Israel being born and sought for all of these young children to be destroyed, knowing that his mother put him into a little basket and slimed it with pitch so that it would be sealed, and put him in the Nile River, a treacherous, dangerous river filled with crocodiles and other beasts. But by faith, his mother put that baby in there and sent her on, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter was to find him, and Moses was to be raised up as an Egyptian child. We find out that when he discovered that he was not of Egyptian heritage, we find out when he discovered that who he's not, he chose not to be raised up as an Egyptian. He chose not to live a life of sumptuality, if you will, but rather chose to suffer affliction. And then we find that he's sent out for 40 years, the backside of Midian. He's over there in a dry place tending to a bunch of sheep, and God speaks to him in the third chapter of the book of Exodus out of a burning bush. God speaks to him as the angel of the Lord, saying, "I am that I am," proclaiming that you will go into there and deliver my people. And by faith, we know that Moses did so. We know of the 10 plagues that was brought about into the nation of Egypt. We're not going to go through all of those things. We know of the traveling through the wilderness and the crossing of the Red Sea this morning. So the mighty and wonderful works that Moses had performed by faith is seen in our opening text this morning in Hebrews chapter 11. So we today can see that Moses possessed a delivering faith. And we can see this, that we today can have a delivering faith that will lead us in our life to follow, as well as allow us to possess a testimony in the community, a testimony in the world, a testimony amongst those that we know within our sphere of influence. So many of us live our lives today in this world unconcerned about our own personal testimony. So many of us will claim Christianity, yet we will barely exhibit what's called churchianity. I don't know if you've heard that phrase before. But some people think just because they attend church once or twice here or there that they're considered to be a Christian. Friend, you can get saved and born again today. Saved of the blood of Christ doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. Living a life like the Lord Jesus Christ, living a life that is a testimony glorifying His name, is what earns the title of Christian. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean you're working for your salvation. Salvation is what gives you the ability and the capabilities, if you will. I love the testimony that my wife gave unto the young girl on Friday night, Zoe, who got saved. She told her quite plainly, and this is before she accepted Christ as her Savior. She said, "Getting saved is not going to make you sinless. It's not going to fix all of your problems, but what it will do will forgive you of your sins." And from that moment forward, you've got to grow in grace. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to be in church as much as you can. At the very least, be in youth club every opportunity that you have. And read your Bible regularly. I'm shocked today, the world that we live in, and I've been shocked for many years now, of how much of the local church that people take for granted, assuming that it's going to be there next week. And it's not promised to be here next service, amen. You see, Christianity and churchianity do not hail from the same corner. A delivering faith, my friend, number one, a delivering faith will possess a commitment in the Christian's life. Dedicated to schedules, dedicated to thoughts, dedicated actions, dedicated and committed feelings towards serving Jesus Christ. And you know what? When you wake up on a Sunday morning and you're a little bit tired, you still go to church, praise God. You wake up in the morning and you're just a little bit fatigued, you still bow the knee and pray and ask God to start your day. You wake up in the morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, whatever it may be, your scheduled Bible reading time, and you're like, you know, I really don't feel like reading today. You read anyway and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Commitment to things in your life. Commitment and dedication to the Lord. I'll give you an illustration from an old story here. There were 128 runners. I just realized this is 1993, and I used the word old for this article. That makes me feel real bad, amen. And there were 128 runners in a field of in the field for cross country race back in 1993 in a collegiate cross country race. It was only a Division II track and field championships, but they had a 6.2 mile run event they had to accomplish. They were following a course that had been marked out by all of the race officials. Toward the end of the course, one of the runners in the middle of the group realized that something was wrong. They realized a guy named Mark DeCavo of Western State College in Colorado saw that the main pack had missed the turn. And he said in his own words, "I was waving for them to follow me and yelling, 'This is the right way, this is the right way.'" But only four runners followed him. The rest of the runners continued on the shortcut, which allowed them to run a shorter distance and finish the race sooner. It became a widely criticized decision, but race officials allowed the abbreviated route to stand as the official course. And Mark DeCavo officially finished 123rd out of 128 runners. You got to stop and think, wait a second, he ran the right course. He stayed the right pace. He went the right way. You're saying, "Preacher, that's not helping me out. I'm being dedicated here." No, guys, listen, in the world today, we're not always going to be rewarded for staying on track, literally or figuratively. But the path that we follow is important to God. And one day, those of us who have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, we will appear before the Lord Jesus Christ for an evaluation of what service we have done in the body. Dependability, guys, is rooted and grounded in dedication. Commitment to excellence is the ultimate key. Beloved, it has to have a delivering faith possesses commitment. Secondly, I'll tell you this morning that a delivering faith possesses character. Again, character is what a man does in the dark, as said by D.L. Moody. Our public life, can you listen carefully to this point? Our public life will never exceed our private life. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "A good character is the best tombstone." He says, "Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. So therefore, carve your name on hearts and not on marble." I like that. I read that earlier this morning. I thought that I like that. That's good. A delivering faith possesses commitment. A delivering faith possesses character. And I'll say this thirdly, a delivering faith is caring. It's caring. Herman Edwards, one of the coaches of the Kansas City Chiefs in the past, when it came to thoughts of teamwork, he said, "The players that play on this field, on this football team, will play for the name that is on the side of the helmet, and not for the names that are on the back of the jerseys." Now, to let you know, their personal names are on the back of the jerseys, but they all played for one team. And I got thinking about that this morning and how teamwork applies into a caring heart, a caring life, a caring action. And I want to pose this question to you this morning under the guise of a delivering faith. When is the last time Christians in this world today made a decision that would better affect those that are around them and not directly affect themselves? Think about that for just a second. That's a caring approach to a delivering faith. Beloved, so many will claim Christ, but they're not committed today. So many will confess Jesus, but they'll have no character.
Beloved, so many call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they simply don't care. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 15, if you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Our love for Christ is seen in our commitment. Our love for Christ is seen in our character. And our love for Christ is seen in how much we care about other people rather than ourselves. So, beloved, when we evaluate Moses' delivering faith, when we look at his life and see how we can apply it directly into ours today, we need to ask ourselves, how can we do this? Well, let's look at the steps that Moses took. Number one this morning, in order to have a delivering faith, we first must have to repent. We have to repent. The word repent simply means to turn away from or to turn around. A delivering faith, number one, will repent of self. Look in verse 24 with me. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses had to deny himself when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And sure, the flesh kicked in. I mean, I'm just going by what I might have said. I would have said, hey, look at how easy you have it here in the kingdom. Hey, look at all the leisure time that you have. Look at all the comforts. Look at all the food. Look at all the nice clothing that you have. I mean, the flesh is going to kick in. Why bother? Listen, what will one person be able to do? You ever said that before? I hear that all the time. Man, I was going to go over there. I was going to do something. I was going to give that person a track. I was going to speak to them. I was going to say hello. I was going to smile. I was going to invite them. But what difference can I make? What difference one soul make? Well, when Moses denied himself, the difference was an entire nation being saved. He repented of himself, turned away from self. He turned away, secondly, from sin. Look in verse 25 in the first part. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And guys, look, I'm going to make a statement here. I don't know how well it'll go over, but we'll just have to work things out if it doesn't. Yeah, sin's fun. Sure, sin is fun. Now, let me ask you this question. If the devil in the flesh is tempting us to commit sin, no matter what level it's on, how big, how small, whatever, he would be a fool to try to tempt you with something that's not fun, right? Here's a good example. My middle boy, Darius, he doesn't like bananas. For some strange reason, he hates bananas. Matter of fact, I gave him a banana peel yesterday to throw away for me, and he pulled one of these, like it was a stinky sock or something. It's a banana peel, man. Are you kidding me, right? He doesn't like bananas. Now, let me ask you a question. If I'm going to tempt him, am I going to tempt him with something that he doesn't like? No. No, I love peanut butter. You bring a peanut butter cake in here, that is tempting, and I'm ready to eat it. You bring peanut butter ice cream in here, I'm ready to chow it down. You bring a peanut butter anything in here, it could be a peanut butter brick, and I'm ready to eat it. It's going to tempt me because I love peanut butter, right? Amen? Now, you know, that's the way sin is. Sin is fun. Sin is pleasurable. Satan's not an idiot, man. He knows what he's doing. If sin had no pleasure, no one would be tempted to do it. But a delivering faith repents of sin. A delivering faith repents of self. But secondly, a delivering faith will recognize things in life. The first things when we repent is we must recognize that sin and understand first that sin is only seasonal. Read the rest of verse 25 again with me. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Even though sin is pleasurable and it is exciting at times to the flesh, guys, it's only for a season. It's merely temporary. In order to possess a delivering faith, you need to recognize in your heart that whatever sin is tempting you in your life, it's only going to be there for a season. That's how it keeps you to come back and back and back for more. Moses is having a delivering faith, so he repented and he recognized that sin was seasonal. He also understood that in order to have a delivering faith, that it was going to take sacrifice. Instead of him enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, he suffered the affliction of his own people. Moses chose to suffer over comfort. He chose to sacrifice over convenience. He chose to do that which produces a delivering faith in his lives and the lives of believers today. Guys, it may not be the popular thing to do, but can I tell you this, it is the right thing to do? Have you found sometimes that even the right thing to do is not so popular amongst the crowd? One thing is sure, you'll stand out amongst the crowd. You're not standing out to be seen. You're not standing out to bring any attention upon yourself. But in order for Moses to have a delivering faith that was going to spare the lives and save an entire race of people, he understood that he recognized that sin was just for a season, and that he had to sacrifice his own pleasures so that these souls could be saved. Harry Truman once said that, commented on polls of leadership. I don't know if you've seen the polls lately, and of course with the referendum last week, we had all these polls going on throughout the week, found out they were all wrong, and we got polls going on in the states with the elections over there, and 54% say this, and 40 some odd say that, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is what Truman said about polls. He said, "I wonder how far Moses would have gone if he'd have taken a poll in Egypt." He said, "What would Jesus Christ have preached if he'd have taken a poll in Israel?" He said, "Where would the Reformation have gone with Martin Luther if he would have taken a poll in 1517? It isn't polls or public opinion of the moment that counts. It's right and wrong and leadership. Men with fortitude, men with honesty, and a belief in the right, that make epochs in the history of the world. That's what makes a difference in the world today," Truman was saying. "We're men who would stand up for what is right, to be a leader in their land. A delivering faith must recognize its sin is seasonal. Recognize there's going to be a sacrifice involved. A delivering faith must recognize the Savior." Look in verse 26 with me of Hebrews chapter 11. He said, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt." This is what Paul said under the same guise in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Beloved, if we can just set our affections on things that are above, if we can set our affections and understand that the labor and the work and the light affliction that we may experience in this life down here will render a greater fruit and a greater reward on the other side. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus," my friend. So a delivering faith must repent. A delivering faith must reconcile. But a delivering faith, my friend, will produce a reward. Look in verse 26 with me again, if you will. Again, we'll repeat the verse, the first part, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." This faith, this delivering faith, speaking of Moses, is a reward in Christ that will come in the form of seeing. Look in verse 27. "By faith, for he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured by seeing him who is invisible." My, hey, isn't that faith today? Faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Who is he looking at? He's looking at Christ. He's looking at God. The reward he saw was that of security. Verse 28 says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood." By faith, my friend, he saw the reward of salvation. The latter part of verse 28, the Bible says, "Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Beloved, that is the great benefits of possessing a delivering faith. And it takes you up from the depths of sin. It takes you up from the depths of shame. And it pulls us out of the mire of sin in mankind. And it will take mankind for 6 millennia. That faith has delivered mankind from the work and the misery of the life that we've seen. A delivering faith has taken us ages away from where we may have started. So when you look at Moses and you see that he saw the reward, and I look at, and I'm telling you guys, I look at this thing and I'm trying to just examine Moses' faith and the faith that he had and understand. We got a book. We have 66 books that make up the Bible here that is perfect and it's inerrant. There's not a fallacy inside this book. There's not anything that's not in here that shouldn't be in here. We have this to base our faith on today. What did he have? Moses had stories that he heard. He had some things that were jotted down maybe on paper here or there. Moses is the author of the first five books of the Bible, as far as penning them. So I'm looking at his faith and the delivering faith that he had, and the faith that we've seen for six millennia today that has delivered mankind out of sin and shame and brought them unto salvation. And I'm just wondering, my soul, if he can have a delivering faith there, what can we have today? How are you going to get a delivering faith this morning? I got two quick points and we'll be done. So stay with me today. How are you going to have a delivering faith in this world? My heart keeps going back to the devotion of to encourage this morning. The difference between complacency and contentment. You see, Paul learned to be content therewith in whatever state he's in. From one extreme to the other. Being full to being hungry. To abound and abase. He learned how to be content. But I wonder sometimes why we're so moved in our life is that we're complacent rather than content. So how can you and I, how can we have a delivering faith that Moses had? Going through life for 40 years as something special. Spending another 40 years of thinking he's nothing. Then all of a sudden the God, the creator of all things, speaks to him out of a bush that's burning and being not consumed, mind you. And says, by the way, you're going to go in and you're going to go deliver Israel for me. We can have a delivering faith today, just like Moses had. But it's going to require first, I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. It's going to require that we start our life when we are reduced. When you and I personally are reduced. If you go back just quickly with me to Exodus chapter 4, last time I'll have you turn, we'll remain there in that chapter, I believe. Exodus chapter 4, and if you look with me in verses 2 and the first part of verse 3, if you are going to have a delivering faith, you in self and personality, your own personal strength will have to be reduced. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. Famous quote that John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. You say, well, what in the world does that staff have to do with us being reduced? Think about what that staff was. That staff is a symbol of Moses' strength. It is an image of man's ability. Is it an image of man's capability? And the Lord says, cast it down. Throw it down on the ground. God is not interested in our abilities. He's not interested in our capabilities near as much as he is interested in our availability and our dependability. That's what the Lord wants us to. That's what the Lord will start with us to give us a delivering faith in our Christian life today. It's when we personally are reduced. When we quit depending on our own abilities. When we quit depending on that which we know and that which we've coached and that which is our own personal strength. The Lord Jesus cast it down. What the Lord wants us to do, what he wants in us to have a delivering faith, he wants us to be reduced. And secondly, what he wants us to solely, fully, and completely, finally as well, rely on him. Moses was a castaway. Moses was to set aside his own abilities. Moses was to rely solely on God's strength. Guess what Moses couldn't rely on now? He couldn't rely on that first 40 years where he was something of promotion in all of Egypt. He spent 40 years as a castaway, the backside of Midian. Shepherd and his father-in-law's sheep. He spent 40 years thinking he was absolutely nothing. And God said, now I'm going to use you. You see, he had to rely not on his own abilities, not on his own personality, not on his own position, not on his own promotion. He had to rely on God's strength. Look in verses 4 and 5 of Exodus 4. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. This is that thing that turned into a serpent. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. They may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Once Moses put down his own strength, he could take up the strength of God once again. You see that in verse 20. We won't look at it. Once he set aside his own strength and depended on the Lord solely, that's when he could take up God's strength and rely on him. Secondly, we must rely on God's strength. But a delivering faith will rely on God as to what to say. Look in verses 10 and 12. The Bible says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore. For since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Listen, if you would rely on the Lord as to what you will say, to give you the opportunities, to give you the place, to give you the direction of the words to say at the right time, at the right place, he will prove himself faithful. The reliance on what to say, the reliance on God's strength, when we have that delivering faith, allows us to be sent. Look in verse 13. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. Beloved, Moses was born in about 1520 B.C. in Hierapolis. He was born under Egyptian rule when the prophecy of a deliverer was learned. Pharaoh ordered all male children to be slain. Friend, it was his mother who relied on God to protect this proper child as she formed an ark and sealed it with slime and pitch and sent down a crocodile-infested Nile. Moses learned the truth of his mother's reliance on the Lord. Moses obtained great wealth of knowledge when he learned of his mother's faith. But it was a delivering faith that continued to touch and teach Moses' heart, as he would continue to touch and teach people today. You see, beloved, I look at the story of Moses and how he was delivered from being killed by Pharaoh's order. We've all heard of the Standard Oil Company that's discovered oil and operated wells throughout Egypt. It's generally known of how they came about the idea that there is oil in Egypt. You see, it's asserted that one of the directors of the company happened to read Exodus chapter 2. And the third verse called his attention, stating that the ark of bulrushes, which his mother made, Moses' mother made, was dabbed with slime and with pitch. So that gentleman reasoned in his heart, reasoned in his mind that there was pitch. And if there was pitch there, there must be oil. And if there was oil there in Moses' time, he probably figured, hey, there's probably still oil there now. So the company sent a man by the name of Charles Wissot, a geologist, an oil expert, to make the investigation. And guess what? Oil was discovered. You say, why do you say that? Well, I'm telling you this. If oil came from Egypt to dab with slime and pitch on Moses' crib to deliver that young boy unto life, if we can get oil from learning about Moses' crib and Moses' life of delivery, I dare to say this morning that we can also look at Moses' life and possess a delivering faith of our own. Each one of these characters are different characters. Each one of these characters that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 have different characteristics of their own. They have a different characteristic of faith, and they're there for a reason, so that you and I can gain from each one of them. Be it a dependent faith, be it a defending faith, be it a delivering faith. But ultimately this morning, my friend, what I want us to understand is that we can get a delivering faith, not only from delivering us from sin and shame, but a faith that can be passed on to others with a Christian testimony and have an effect, have an impact on the lives of others that we are in contact with sometimes on a daily basis. My friend, that's what you have this morning. If you're here today and you're saved and you're born again and you're on your way to heaven, you have a delivering faith. And I ask you this question today, and I'm done. Do you not want to take the same delivering faith that you have and share it and pass it on to others so that they may have the same thing? The greatest gift in all of this world is to have faith in Jesus Christ, that you're saved and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If you have that this morning, the greatest thing that you can ever do is to pass that same delivering faith unto another so that they can do the same thing over and over again. Moses had a delivering faith, beloved. Do you have one this morning? Father, we do thank you for the blessed day, the opportunity to be here. We ask you, Lord, to move in our life. Pray that you take your word this morning, apply it into our hearts, make a difference, I ask. We plead with you today that you would please continue to touch and tender the hearts and lives of all involved at Saron, and I pray that you would wonderfully and graciously bless each one of us. So, Lord, I do love you and thank you for all that you've done, and ask you now for your continual grace and mercy. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope and pray the Lord was good to you this morning. Trust that He was. Again, as always, and mighty thankful for everyone who is here today. Our final hymn of the morning that we'll be dismissed with today or right afterwards is a favorite of one of our dear brothers, Brother Jason. And I am, for one, going to largely depend on him.